many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she had turned the color of her hair. No one told me about her. What could I do? Well, no one told me about her, though they all knew. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there.
CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkstud Show, the radio show where we talk about comics. That was the Zombies with She's Not There. Yes, the good old Zombies. Not a lot of stuff by them, but it's all great. This week, I have two guests. The first guest is Caitlin Black. One thing I'm trying to do right now is take a look at some of the Canadian small press stuff. And I picked up Caitlin's comics in Toronto when I was there for the Toronto Comic Art Festival. Maids of the Mist, Vince is the One, and the Mariah Trilogy are the things I picked up. Have I got you there, Caitlin?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. Now, tell me about your interest in comics, because it seems like you come at it from a different angle than just doing comics by itself.
Yes, I originally didn't start off in comics. I was an illustrator, and I was primarily more along the lines of a fine artist. And certainly my inspirations weren't initially comics. I was more inspired by different art movements and genres from different time periods. So I'd say my favorite primary inspiration is probably the German Expressionists.
Really?
Yeah. I'm very fond of and the Fauves and bold use of color and that sort of thing. And then I branched off into other styles. And, you know, slowly over time, I acquired a knowledge and interest in comics as well. So it was an acquired interest.
So it was something later on that you got into, not something that was kind of bred into you from a young age?
No. I developed an appreciation for it and a knowledge of it over time.
What were some of those books that really got you into comics? What was some of the work that you saw?
Sure. Well, certainly the graphic novel movement or picture books or whatever you want to.
I like the term comic.
They had more of a fine art feel to them, and certainly they had a completely different way of viewing the whole medium, which really pulled me into it. And over time, I also acquired appreciation for more mainstream comics as well.
What was your first foray into comics?
Myself, my own work, or something I had.
The first work that you did for yourself.
Well. I was living here in Toronto, and, you know, they say every artist's first project, it takes their entire life to do. So it's your entire accumulation of experiences up to that point, and what you first create took your whole life to do, because it was, you're drawing on all your life experience. So my first work was Vince's The One, which is autobiographical and based on my own life experience, from a very early age on.
It's I quite enjoyed it. So is it pretty strict autobiography, or you kind of played with it a little?
Well, certainly any autobiography is definitely self-centered. Some majority of it is sort of teetering on truth. Some parts, are a bit exaggerated, but for the most part, it is my life and different experiences, good and bad, that I had.
How was the experience putting that story together? Because it is such a life story.
Well, I don't know. It just came out of me all of a sudden, and I don't know. It just seemed like I was writing my diary for the last 20 years, and that's what came out. And I don't know. Honestly, I'm really quite embarrassed of that project now, and I don't like it at all, and I'm sort of embarrassed that I did it.
Why?
It's very confessional, and it exposes too much of my private life that I don't really want people to know about. I did it, and it's done, and it's there, so then you just move forward from there. I really don't even look at my own work. Once I do it, I develop a strong dislike for it, so it's sort of strange.
I don't think it's as strange as you may think. I think a lot of artists, they put out a work and then sometimes they just can't look at it again, or it's something they can't really revisit easily.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're doing autobio work. For working on your story, did you have a lot of journals that you'd kept throughout your life, or is this something you kind of looked at looking back from now, kind of putting the memories together to create the story?
Mm-hmm. Well, to be truthful, I was working as a dancer in Toronto, and working in that field gave me the opportunity to reflect on all my experiences in life and to give them a different perspective. And I was just assessing everything that had happened to me up to that point, and because it was sort of a job with a sexual, flavor to it, that made me reflect on all my experiences personally as well, and what they meant, and what I took from them. And did that answer your question?
I think so. Tell me about the art style that you kind of settled with comics. I feel like looking at the cover, it's a little different than the insides, especially with the color work. Do you enjoy doing black and white more than color, or kind of you go with black and white out of a necessity of the cost of printing?
Well, certainly I'm not published, and I'm not a established artist in any sense of the word, so I pay for it myself. I don't have any funding, so I print it myself and pay for it. So I can afford to print in color. I print the covers in color because I want to, certainly, because I do prefer color for the most part, but it's just a financial thing, really.
Yeah. I really like, especially the cover on the Vince is the One, the I guess it's your self character right at the forefront. It seems like a kind of a 40s-ish, 50s style to the characterization.
Yeah, well, I drew on romance comics for that first project. I was really looking into the traditional old style of romance comics and just this sort of kitsch aspect to them, and I wanted to pull something out of that to bring to my own story.
Well, there are some mighty fine romance comics.
Yeah, I love them, and I love making collages out of them and pulling them apart and, montaging different pictures with different text. It's a lot of fun.
Any particular romance comics that struck your fancy or really stood out?
No, they're all sort of generic. They sort of have sort of a generic sort of TV dinner. I mean, the artists don't really, they don't even pay their dues to whoever did them. I mean, I think they were all drawn on a budget, a limited time frame, just to make some money. And I don't have any artist names to give you. Mm-hmm. They're just sort of.
I guess it's just something interesting looking at, especially like as such a picture of time when you look at those romance comics. Like this is this like idealist 50s fantasy, mm-hmm. and it's just so I guess absurd.
Yeah, it's very surreal, and it's sort of a, you know, it's a assumed sort of stereotype of what people are supposed to be thinking and feeling, and I think that life is a lot stranger than that, certainly. So it's just sort of gleaning over the surface of different experiences, but not really delving into it.
What was the, what comic did you do after Vince is the One? What was your follow-up work? What direction did you want to go into?
I really don't know. I'm just a flounderer. I'm a flounderer. I just pick things out of air, and whatever happens, happens. And I've sort of developed this strange obsession for Mariah Carey, and maybe that's somehow connected to the cheesy romance comics. I don't know. But
well, why don't I play the Mariah song that you requested, and then we'll jump into some Mariah. How's that sound?
Sure, that's great.
Okay, we'll be right back. Inkstud CITR 101.9 FM, and please keep in mind the specific choice of the Mariah Carey song is because of the content to which we are discussing.
Treated me kind, sweet destiny, carried me through desperation to the one that was waiting for me. It took so long, still I believed somehow the one that I needed would find me eventually. Had a vision of a love, and it was all that you've given to me. You've given me, I realized a dream, and I visualized the love that came to be. Feels so light, I'm so thankful that I've received the answer that I have. Turned out to be.
guys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude, but don't cry.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
And we're back. Inkstead, CITR 101.9 FM. This is the radio show about comics. My guest right now speaking with is Caitlin Black. We were just about to dive into her unruly obsession with Mariah Carey.
Oh, yes. I enjoyed that song. Thank you very much for playing that.
No problem. It's a little unusual for us to play in the station here. I'll be honest.
I do apologize. Very
it's
bad
okay.
taste, I realize.
I didn't say that. I said it's unusual for the content we play here. So tell me about Mariah. What is it that... Why Mariah?
Why? I don't know. Well, we have a lot of things in common. We're both the same age. We both have an older sister. We both sort of had a sort of strange, sort of unstable childhood. And I think primarily what I identify with her is there's something very melancholy in her persona. And even in the bubblegum pop song she writes, I sense this very profound feeling of sadness in everything she does. And somehow that's what I feel and connect with, and I really took to her music for that reason particularly.
So why the choice to do a comic, or I guess an illustrated picto song thing?
Well, I guess you could call it my blue period. I was living my Picasso blue period. Yes, it was a very desperate time in my life. I was still working in sex work. I was living in a horrible neighborhood, really bad neighborhood in Toronto, and people were breaking into my apartment, and yeah, I was pretty desperate, and so I wanted to write something that sort of reflected this sort of, you know, sadness and desperation I was feeling, and I just picked my three favorite songs by her. So... Yeah, so I wrote these songs about these three females, these sort of, you know, urban waifs wandering through this sort of film noir wasteland, just wondering what they should be doing, and that's pretty much all it is.
Well, they're really, really gorgeous. It's a really gorgeous little book. It's interesting. Just you see a lot of that sadness in it, in like kind of the isolation the characters are feeling, or that is going through in the story.
Yeah, well, the entire thing I painted in blue. It's not a black and white project. I just couldn't afford to print it, so that really detracts from its quality, I think, because I printed it in black and white.
That gives it a whole different vibe.
Yeah, the entire project is blue.
Now, would it be possible? Do you have any pages of it on your blog at all, of the actual blue stuff?
Yep, yes, I do. The entire project is on my blog. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which is?
Oh, http://. Oh, jeez.
crumpled-caitlin.blogspot.com.
Yes,
there
thank
we go.
You very much.
No worries. No, it's really interesting. Like I enjoyed looking at it, and just kind of the story that comes out of what you feel with the music. That's quite interesting. Now, Maids of the Mist. Did you grow up in Niagara Falls?
Yes, I did. I grew up there, born and raised, and that one was just sort of an accident too. I don't know why I started doing it. I had finished the Mariah trilogy, and I had exercised that from my being, and then I just started doodling around, just doing little. I wanted to try something four-panel series, sort of, you know, sort of with a Peanuts flavor, where you have, you know, a joke per line type thing, and I wanted to see if I could do it. So I just started playing around with these two characters, and somehow it developed into a project based on Niagara Falls. So,
tell me about the young women of Maids of the Mist.
Well, I somehow created these two characters, Leopard and Misty, these two little girls, young women, sort of rock and roll wastrels. I don't know. They're just two teeny boppers just hanging out, wondering what to do, and getting drunk in the graveyard, and, you know, usual things.
I think it's interesting compared to your other work, because you do a lot rougher style. Was it kind of a sense of immediacy of just kind of doing the story and just going with it?
Yes, it's very sloppy and very poor letter type setting there as well, but that's my natural way, so I didn't really do a lot of tight editing on that particular project.
It seems as you go through the story, the Maids of the Mist, the characters kind of flesh themselves out. Were you kind of getting more comfortable with figuring out who they were?
Yeah, you can kind of see that. You can see how I'm sort of progressing throughout the project, doing character development and elaborating on different plots and just experimenting with the format. You kind of sense that as you read through it, certainly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the crazy hotel work.
Oh, well, there's no other work to do. And when you work in a tourist area, the only jobs available are in hospitality. So that's what myself and my friends were all doing. We were working in hotels every summer. It was a terrible job, just very sort of demeaning, you know, laborious, unpleasant work.
Yeah.
So I wanted to touch on that a bit just for fun.
What is some of the crazy stuff you've dealt with while working at the hotel, or is it too much to describe?
Well, I think I covered a few things there. Just I used to walk in on people all the time and finding unusual objects and unpleasant things. And certainly I did fall asleep a few times while I was working. That kind of job.
Not recommended for youngsters.
No, it's very, very unpleasant work, yes.
What, are you working on any comics right now?
Well, I do have an idea for an upcoming project. I don't know. I'm building a puppet theater, and I'm working on that sort of, I'm doing a puppet musical, and I'm going to be doing performances and busking and taking that on the road. But also I am working on another project. Well, I have several ideas, but nothing concrete. Like I said, I'm a flounderer, so things will happen randomly.
I was checking out the puppets, and I love them. They're odd little guys. I think my favorite was Router.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about Router.
Oh, I don't know. They're just, you know, little people. I'm not going to decontextualize them. They're just, I really wanted to do something that had a social message, and I am particularly concerned with animal rights and environmental issues, and the theme of this project is based on those two ideas. And conveying information to the public through art. So this is my sort of social consciousness speaking on this project.
Awesome. Well, I highly recommend people checking out the puppets. They're great little odd guys.
Yeah, puppets are kind of kitsch, but I'll exercise that, and then I'll get sick of them and hate them too. So
I wouldn't use.
Forward at all costs.
I wouldn't use the term kitsch. I don't know. I like it. Kitsch is demeaning. Give yourself more credit.
Oh, we artists, we're very hard on ourselves.
That is true. Well, thanks for taking the time to chat with me today, Caitlin.
Well, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for considering me.
And I hope folks go check out your blog, crumpled-caitlin.blogspot.com. Check out the wonderful puppets. Thanks, Caitlin.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you.
Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And then I'm going to take a quick song break. I'm going to play some Deep Purple that you wanted to hear. And we'll be right back. Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM.